gentlemen moderators, Dr. Elder Rear, ladies and gentlemen, I consider it a real privilege and pleasure to be able to be here tonight to talk to you and discuss with Dr. Elder Rear the matter that has just been read in your hearing. I consider myself fortunate for a number of reasons. I've been with Dr. Elder Rear several times. He's a more cordial gentleman, and I'm looking forward to a cordial discussion. The subject for discussion is Jesus the Messiah is the only begotten Son of God, was crucified for the sins of the world, and the New Testament is God's final revelation. By Jesus, I mean, of course, Jesus of Nazareth, and by the Messiah, I mean that he is the one anointed of God and sent of God as foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. That he is the only begotten Son of God, I mean by that he is the unique Son of God. And as we'll be discussing in just a little while, by the words Son of God, I do not mean that God in any sense had any kind of physical relationship with any woman or wife and thereby produced a son, but as we shall hope to show by means of the scriptures, by the expression Son of God, we mean deity, God manifest in the flesh. Was crucified for our sins, that is, he died by means of being nailed to the cross for the sins of the world, that means for all the world, and that the New Testament, the 27 books we call the New Testament, is God's final revelation. That is, there will be no other. There will be no more. That rules out any later revelation, such as the Book of Mormon, the Koran, or any other or later revelation than the New Testament. As the moderator said earlier, the question that we are here to discuss tonight is an historical question. The question has to do with Jesus of Nazareth, who he was, what he was, how did he live, did he die, and if so, how. But how are we to resolve these questions? I submit to you that these questions must be resolved not by emotions, not by feelings, not by intuition, but on evidence, cold, hard facts. After all, Jesus lived on this earth. He walked here. He talked here. He was seen by his contemporaries. He made an impression on people. He was an historical person. He left an historical record of both his deeds and his words. This is a historical question, and as such, demands an historical, objective, scientific investigation. An investigation, I say again, based not on sentiment, not on emotion, not on feeling, but on evidence. And we are going to appeal tonight to objective, verifiable evidence. Evidence of eyewitness testimony who heard and saw Jesus, who ate and drank with him, who handled him with their hands. A number of years ago, I lived in Peoria, Illinois, and a famous trial took place while I lived there. It was the trial of Richard Speck. Richard Speck was accused of murdering something like 7 student nurses. The judge did not see him do it. The jury did not see him do it, but they found him guilty because there was presented to them objective, verifiable evidence. It was eyewitness testimony. One young lady saw him commit the murders, and on this eyewitness testimony, he was found guilty. What I will be presenting to you tonight is eyewitness testimony to substantiate the fact that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. I have a chart over here entitled, Jesus is the Son of God. You'll notice that the very first scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. In this passage, Peter makes this statement. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Note that word. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. John said in Revelation 1, verse 10, I heard. And again in verse 12, as we have on the chart, John said, I saw. This is the testimony of people that claim to be eyewitnesses. People who claim to have seen. People who claim to have heard. Did it ever occur to you that the very people that Jesus chose to be his witnesses were people who made their living by means of their physical senses, their eyes and ears, men whose livelihood depended on the proper use of eye and ear, men such as fishermen, tax collectors, whose very living depended upon their ability to use their senses and physical senses and use them properly. Peter said, I heard, I saw. Therefore, our appeal is not to emotion, but to eyewitness, verifiable, historical evidence. If you're inclined to reject historical evidence as proof, just remember that by so doing, you cannot consistently believe any history. You cannot believe that Napoleon ever lived, or that Julius Caesar ever lived, or that Mohammed ever lived. No man here ever saw Napoleon. No man here ever saw anybody that did see Napoleon. What we know about him, we learn from history, historical evidence. So it is that we appeal to historical evidence, testimony of eyewitnesses who left us an historical record, and that testimony says, Jesus is the Son of God. The very first point that I want to make, that I want to emphasize, Jesus made the claim that he was the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus raised the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That is the question that we are here to discuss tonight. Who is Jesus? Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The reply then was, some say, thou art John the Baptist, others, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But turning to the disciples, he asked, who do you say that I am? To which question Simon Peter replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. When Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, that's what we're talking about, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Peter said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and Jesus endorsed that statement. For he said, you did not get that from man, you got that from God. It came to you by revelation. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of the living God. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was called before the Sanhedrin or the council, they asked him that very question. They said, tell us plainly. Well, that's what we're interested in, being told plainly. And they said to him, tell us plainly. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Notice the Messiah, the Son of God, tell us. Jesus said, thou hast said. We would say, you said it. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. We say that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In John chapter 9, we have an occasion where Jesus healed a man that was born blind. And after some discussion and some events had happened, Jesus came to this man in verse 35 and said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee. Jesus said very clearly, I am the Son of God. And so we're saying that here is evidence. Here are historical records that make the statement that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In John chapter 5, we have Jesus having worked, or not worked, but having performed an activity on the Sabbath day. And they raised the question, why are you doing this? In verse 17, Jesus said, my Father worketh even until now, and I work. Please note the claim, my Father. He did not say our Father. He said my Father. Jesus claimed a unique relationship between him and his Father. My Father worketh even until now, and I work. For this cause, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only brake the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was claiming godhood. He was claiming deity. He was claiming to be divine. He was not claiming that he was, or that God had entered into any kind of a physical relationship with any kind of woman, any kind of wife, to produce a son, but rather he was claiming equality in deity. Though subordination, no doubt, as far as function is concerned, he claimed equality in deity. He claimed to be God, and the Jews so understood the claim. They said he made himself equal with God. Furthermore, we call your attention to John chapter 10. On this occasion, in John chapter 10, Jesus had made the claim that he was the good shepherd. He had further made the claim that nobody was able to snatch his sheep out of the Father's hand. Then he said, no man can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, many good works have I shown thee from the Father. Which of these works do you stone me? They said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and so claiming, claimed Godhood. And the Jews so understood him. But I submit to you that Jesus did more than make the claim. Jesus proved his claim. And the proof that he gave was that of miracles. Now, I'd like to be clearly understood on this point. I am not saying that the working of miracles is proof of Godhood. But I am saying that Jesus worked miracles in proof of his claim to be God. I have a number of things over here that list proof of Jesus' claim to proof of his claim to be deity. I call your attention to Mark, the second chapter, in which the Bible talks about Jesus forgiving sins. On this occasion, there was a man sick of the palsy. They brought him to where Jesus was, and Jesus said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the Jews, when they heard that, said, this man is blasphemed. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? Jesus then said, which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say? Please notice Jesus is raising the question, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, take up thy bed and walk? Well, it'd be a whole lot easier to say, your sins are forgiven. Nobody could check up on you and find out if they were or not. It would be more difficult to say, take up thy bed and walk, because people could find out if you had the authority to make the claim. But then Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, thou take up thy bed and walk, and the man did. Jesus did this, and that's my point. He performed this miracle. He said that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, but no one can forgive sins but God. Therefore, when Jesus worked the miracle was not proof of Godhood, but the miracles worked in demonstration of the claim, or proof of the claim, that he was the Son of God. So I'm not saying that miracles prove deity. I'm not saying that miracles prove Godhood. But I am saying that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and then worked miracles to prove the claim. If he had not made the claim, that would be one thing, but he did make the claim. He claimed to be the Son of God, and then worked miracles in proof of it. And we haven't even begun to touch the number of things that we have in the New Testament that Jesus did to prove his claim. Here are a number of things that we have. There are more than 300 Old Testament prophecies that were in existence before Jesus was born. 300 prophecies that he fulfilled in his person. And he said in John chapter 5, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me, having reference to these prophecies. He was born of the Virgin Mary, as in Matthew chapter 1. My friend will not deny the teaching that he did. Jesus showed very clearly that he had the power to do the teaching. In Matthew 7, it says very plainly that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, verse 29. But more than that, the miracles that Jesus performed demonstrate clearly that God was with him when he made the claim to be the Son of God. Jesus worked all kinds of miracles. For example, he had demonstrated, or he did demonstrate, by means of his miracles, that he had power over nature. We read where he was able in Matthew chapter 8 to still the storm. We read in Mark chapter 6, verse 46, where he was able to walk on water. We read that he had power over material things. in John the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 10, we read where he was able to turn water into wine. In Luke 9, verses 10 through 17, we read where he was able to feed 5,000 men with a few loaves and fishes. We read where Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, healed all manner of diseases. Now, the miracles we're saying were worked by Jesus in demonstration of the claim, or in proof of the claim, that he is the Son of God. Not only did he have power over nature, power over material things, power over disease, he had power over the spirit world. He cast out unclean spirits. Furthermore, he had power over death. In John chapter 11, you'll read about the resurrection of Lazarus, how that Jesus raised him from the dead. A man that had been dead 4 days, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. But more than that, Jesus himself was raised from the dead. And this shows very clearly, he had made the claim that he was the Son of God. He had said, "Destroy this, or kill this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And he did. The point that we're making is that here is the claim that Jesus made to be the Son of God, and then he worked miracles in proof of the claim. Not just miracles, but miracles, objective evidence that people could see to demonstrate, to prove that the claim that he made was a true claim. Not only that, not only did Jesus make the claim that he was the Son of God, and not only did he work miracles to substantiate the claim that he was the Son of God, but God endorsed his claim. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, we noted earlier, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses." Note that. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he goes on to say, "He received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen.' And this voice we ourselves heard." We're not judging this on the basis of emotion, but here is eyewitness testimony. Here is the voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son." Peter said, "We heard that voice." And when you look at Matthew chapter 17, you'll find a fuller account of it, how that they were in the mountain. And Peter is the one that said, "Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I'm saved. Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he proved to be the Son of God by working the miracles that he did, and God endorsed that claim. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the record where Jesus was baptized, and the record tells us very plainly that when he was, the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." God endorsed the claim that Jesus made when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says that this is about Jesus Christ, who was the Son of David according to the flesh, but who was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And furthermore, we have eyewitness testimony of people that ate with him and drank with him and talked with him and handled him after he was raised from the dead. The record says very clearly that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. God would not raise an impostor, but God raised Christ. He claimed to be the Son of God. He proved his claim. God endorsed his claim, and the Jews condemned him to death because he made it. The reason that Jesus was crucified, the reason the Jews put him to death, was because he claimed to be the Son of God. We have just read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 through 68, they raised the question, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of God?" He said, "That's right. Thou hast said." That's the reason Jesus was condemned to death. So I submit to you, historically, eyewitness testimony, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He proved his claim by the miracles that he performed. God endorsed his claim by the statement that he made by raising him from the dead, and the Jews condemned him to death for it. I have a question here that I would like for Dr. Elder Rear to deal with, if he does not deal with anything else. Please tell us, do these scriptures teach that Jesus is the Son of God? Do these scriptures make the claim that Jesus is the Son of God? Do these New Testament records that we have given clearly show that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, that he proved his claim, and that God endorsed his claim? And if he doesn't deal with anything else, I say I'd like for him to deal with this question. You've listened very attentively. I appreciate it. I feel sure that you'll listen just as carefully and attentively to Dr. Elder Reed. I didn't get through all of it, but in the next speech I plan to. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.